75 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show at 4:07. Hour number two just getting underway. A rather pleasant day. Relatively pleasant, anyway.
Yes, very sunny out there and nice and cool again for a July day that does not feel like July.
There you go. We just heard from Bob Larson, actually, that things are going to be, you know, that as near as he can tell, which I think is kind of the way of getting out of saying definitely, because you never hear a weather person say definitely, but saying looks pretty good for a good weekend this weekend, looking at temperatures gradually going up, but sunshine, nice, doesn't look like a bit of rain in the forecast. So if you've been thinking, you know what, this summer we haven't got a chance to cook out, haven't gone to the beach yet, haven't done this or done that, this weekend might be the time. It just might be. So another thing that you might want to do this weekend, and you know what, we're going to do this a little bit later on in the program, a couple of tickets to go see a new movie with Cameron Diaz, the movie, which is one of these romantic comedy, action comedy kind of things. It's called Sex Tape, and it's going to be at Celebration Cinema in Portage. We're going to give away a couple of tickets to that a little bit later on in the program. So look forward to giving you the opportunity to go catch a movie this week. Maybe you want to do that instead of being outside. I don't know. If everybody else is going to be outside, it might be perfect to get to the theater.
Nobody might be there. You can have perfect seats.
Could be. Yeah, I don't know. Or if nothing else, good food and, you know, great air conditioning and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Well, the Senate has the state Senate has been looking at medical marijuana. It was something the House looked at. They passed some bills in a bipartisan fashion. So this was definitely not a, you know, left versus right kind of issue. They passed the bill with support from both sides. Well, now it's gone to the Senate, and the Senate Government Operations Committee voted earlier in the week to approve the two bills that would allow dispensaries and the sale of marijuana-infused products to patients with medical marijuana cards. So it's going to go to the full Senate. Randy Richardville says the bills will probably look a little bit different when they come up for a vote in the full Senate. He's predicting September is when that's going to happen. He said this. He says, I have some of the same concerns as law enforcement. My concern has always been playgrounds and neighborhoods and making sure controls are in place so people who think they're getting a certain product are actually getting that product. They went into detail a little bit about some people that got before the Senate and talked about their issues, why it's important to be able to have access to medical marijuana and that kind of thing. And this is an issue that I have heard. It was just an event last night they were discussing this. And I think, and feel free to chime in on this, because I am by no means an expert on this. I can safely, honestly say I have not tried marijuana, not been around it, not something that I am familiar with in any way at all. It's just not something I've done. But at the same time, I think it's worth talking about. And I would love to hear your input on this, because maybe you got kind of a different angle on this. Maybe you know somebody that needs medical marijuana, and that's something that you feel like, yeah, you know, this is a good thing. I'd love to hear from you. 382-4280-877-382-4280 is the toll-free number. And 803-73 if you'd like to text us on the topic at all. We'd love to hear from you. Now, on the subject of medical marijuana, I can see the point. I can see the point of people that need this, that there are some things that can be done with marijuana that can't be had by smoking it, so to speak. I see the benefit there. But I think, you know, this is one of those areas, and I have, on this program, given Randy Richardville a rough time, just over the roads thing. But I got to admit, I agree with him on this. That I think if you're going to have this, if this is going to be something that you pass, This is going to be part of things that that you want to be legal. You really need to have it regulated so that it's people that have a card for the prescription and only those people. And it's distributed in a way that you could be guaranteed, all right, when I get food laced with this to help me out, I know that it has the content of this, this, and that in there. The other part about it, and this is the confusing part, you know, marijuana is legal in two states so far, Colorado and Washington. There are other states that do medical marijuana, ours included, although it's been just kind of muddy for a long time. On the federal level, the answer is no. No, it's illegal, and you're going to jail. Come on. That's the federal angle on it. So it couldn't get more confusing here. Now, this is one of those issues where I think states' rights should come into play. And if the state says medical marijuana, or if the state says legalize it, then that's what the state decides. I think this is one of those things where the federal government probably should not be involved in it. That said, I understand the involvement of the federal government in that there's been a war on drugs for years and years and years and years. Not going too well, but, you know, it's happening. I can understand that the federal enforcement on this, and particularly, you know, with the border, and there's another issue with the border. I mean, this is a hot issue on the border when it comes down to it. And I'm not saying that the medical marijuana is snuck into the country, although it could be. I don't know. I don't know enough about it to be able to comment on that. But in the meantime, there are people that grow it domestically and do so legally based on that, you know what, we're dispensing it to people who need it and that kind of thing. I think clarity needs to be had here. And I think there needs to be clarity not only on a state level of this is what it's going to look like, this is how it works, maybe even a little taxation, you never know. And I think the other part of it is, from the federal government, there needs to be kind of a, you know what, we're going to do two things in terms of, you know, drug enforcement, that kind of thing. Secure the border, secure the border, secure the border. We talked about that yesterday, and it hasn't changed. You secure the border, that'll cut down on some of that. But the other part of it is getting the federal government out of that business. You know what? If it's legal in Colorado, if it's legal in Washington, then it's legal there. And the Constitution gives states the right to have power over that sort of thing. Powers that are not denoted in the Constitution are reserved for the states and the people. That's the 10th Amendment. And I think it applies here. Now, I am not a person that will sit around and talk about, well, we need to legalize drugs. Because I got a problem with that. You think about how we've had problems with drunk drivers. Imagine if drugs were legal.
We'd have problems with drugged drivers then.
And you understand why police organizations are against even things like this. Police organizations are going, no, we don't want that. But I think well-regulated in this case, this is one of those things where I kind of feel like, all right, maybe this is an area where regulation needs to take place. I'm normally not a regulation guy. But if you're going to do it, it has to be regulated very, very well. And I wonder if it shouldn't be regulated alongside other pharmaceuticals. I mean, think about, you know, you can't get pain pills unless you go to the doctor, get a prescription, and then go to the pharmacy. Maybe that's the answer, and not necessarily a dispensary, although some of that could take place. But I wonder if that isn't the answer there as well. I don't know, but the Senate's going to be taking this up right before the election. Thanks, guys, for that. That's great. But they're going to be taking that up. They're going to be passing some bills. They're already promising that they're going to be different from the House. So there's going to be a little get-together We're going to figure out, all right, which way are we going to go on this? And they'll come up with something that, you know what, it all works, it's all good, we'll do this. Vote, sign, we're done. That is if the governor signs off on it, and I don't know if he will or he won't. I don't know that he's come out other than just, well, yeah, I'm not really thinking about that right now. So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out. I really wonder, because I know that that this was passed by a ballot initiative. Medical marijuana is okay in the state. But all it seems to do is it's just muddied the waters as to, all right, how's this going to work? And since that time, the courts, lawmakers have been trying to figure it out. So having a step in the right direction of figuring it out is a good thing, I think. You know, what does it mean down the line? Well, who knows? Who really knows? But it'll be interesting to see how all this turns out, particularly once we get to September and the state Senate decides to vote on this. That is if they don't get to Rhodes at some point. You know,
I hope they do.
They might do that. You never know. Wow. Who would have thunk that? Going to keep talking with you. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. -71 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. This portion of the Jeremy Lawrence Show is brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 until 2. I'm glad you've taken the time to be with us. You know, I wanted to get to this the other day. I really wanted to talk about this. If you've listened to me for any length right now, you know, I find the space program, I find what we've done with the space program absolutely fascinating up to this point. It's fantastic to think of the many things we've discovered. Just the invention of Velcro alone right there, that's worth the cost of the space program. You know, but there have been things, you know, and I think most of us that enjoy different things that we have accomplished in America, this is one that's right up there. You know, landing on the moon and orbiting Earth, and the Hubble Space Telescope. I mean, that's been up there for years and years and years, giving us images of distant galaxies, and they've already figured out, and this is the cool thing, just in the last 10 or 15 years, they've figured out ways to find out, oh, wait, that distant star over there, there's a planet around it, and it's just in that zone that could sustain life. I find that fascinating. I really do.
I do, too. That's incredible.
You know, and it's not just because I've watched Star Trek for the last 30 years of my life. No, it has nothing to do with that. I enjoy Star Trek, but that's beside the point. So NASA has come out and announced that they feel like humans will be able to prove we're not alone in the universe within the next 20 years. Now, NASA, the organization that couldn't get to space now if it tried, is finally coming around to talk about space. And I think that's the funny part about all of this. You know, now eventually they'll get back, and I hope they do. I really do not want to be in the position of making light of what they do, because I want to see them get back into space. I honestly think that rather than this off-season thing where we're hitching a ride with the Russians and whatever else to get up to the space station, we should have kept the shuttles going. And I know they're 30-year-old technology.
Or we should have had a replacement in line for them.
Or, yeah, have the replacement in line. And they've got a replacement. They're working, I guess it's the Orion spacecraft they're working on. That's fine. But you know what? Have it so that it overlaps. I mean, if you remember, and I can remember back when the shuttle was in its prime, I mean, the shuttle was up there constantly. They were all the time up there launching and doing things. And, you know, even later, they kind of cut it off. All right, well, we got another shuttle mission. It's the first time we've been up in a few months. Okay. But you know what? What I think they should have done, have that shuttle program. Okay, we're done. That's the final landing of the shuttle. 2 weeks from now, we're going to be launching the new craft.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they should have done right there, so that we didn't have this thing of, yeah, we're basically going to just sit and twiddle our thumbs and come up with these announcements. Now, they have been launching some stuff. They announced the launch of the Transiting Exoplanet Surveying Satellite. That's going to take place in 2017. And basically, combined with that, along with the James Webb Space Telescope in 2018, they feel like at some point they're going to be able to track down signs of life on some of these exoplanets. And exoplanets means outside our solar system and that kind of thing. You get what I'm talking about. Matt Mountain, the director of the Webb Telescope, scientists at the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore, says, just imagine the moment when we find potential signatures of life. Imagine the moment when the world wakes up and the human race realizes that its long loneliness in time and space may be over. The possibility we're no longer alone in the universe. And it gives you chills. You think about that from two perspectives. First of all, will we find Mr. Spock out there somewhere? You know, because Spock, yeah, he was logical and all that, but he was still sort of fun to be around.
Yeah.
Or will you find the aliens from Independence Day that are going to come to kill us?
I really hope not.
You know, you hope you don't find that.
And you
sort
know,
of thing.
From all those kind of movies and TV shows, you know, like V, the event mm-hmm. with aliens like that, I hope we don't find them.
Certainly not. Certainly not. But there's been quite an imagination in sci-fi circles that, yeah, could be that bad. Who knows? I think if we discover alien life out there and we finally get around to seeing them, first of all, it's not going to be in my lifetime. Michael might be a very old man when it happens. I don't know. But I think when we do finally get to that point, this life is going to be so unlike anything we have ever seen that it'll just boggle the mind. You know, we're used to two arms, two legs. Heck, on Star Trek, they all had that, except they had something funny on their nose or forehead, you know.
Yeah.
I think alien life is going to be so different, we don't have a clue. We're going to look at this and go, really? What? What is that?
Eight eyes, 10 arms, 3 legs.
That sort of thing. Something I think that's, along those that's lines. What, you know, and it's going to be natural for them. They're going to look at us and go, man, how do you get around?
Yeah.
So if they can understand us at all. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if NASA can, first of all, actually get this stuff up in the air. I hope they will. And secondly, if they can actually track this down in the next 20 years. Could be fun. Could be one of those Star Trek moments. I'm not necessarily moving that we build the Starship Enterprise now, but I don't know. Maybe we should start getting those warp engines warmed up. I don't know.
I'll be captain.
I figured you might be. Something tells me. If we can peel them away from the video games all yeah. day. Anyway. One thing I wanted to do, and I think we can guarantee somebody's going to win this here in the next little bit. Couple of movie tickets, Celebration Cinema in Portage. The new movie, Cameron Diaz is in this. It's called Sex Tape. It comes out this Friday, and I would like to give them away right now.
Okay.
Wait, not yet. Now.
Okay.
Now I want to give them away. All right. Here's how it works, all right? I want to give these tickets away. I'm going to give them away to somebody who calls in at 382-4280. That's our local number. Toll free, you can call 877-382-4280. And all you got to do in order to win these tickets is answer the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that Michael's about to lay on us.
All right. So the other co-star in this movie is Jason Segel along with Cameron Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And the question relates to Jason Segel. What TV show did Jason Segel play in with Neil Patrick Harris from 2005 to 2014?
Yeah. I don't know. I may have to consult with my mother on this. I don't know. But
maybe.
Who knows? But in the meantime, you know what? All you got to do to be on the list for this, if you know that, give us a call. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. We got the news coming up. After we get through the news, we'll tell you who won those tickets. And Hillary Clinton, at one of her speaking engagements, you got to wonder what she asks for. We got a list of some things she asked for. You won't believe it. 4:37. Look at it, 71 degrees at Kalamazoo. It's Jeremy Lawrence here on the Jeremy Lawrence Show at 590 WKZO. Well, we had the opportunity to give away a couple of movie tickets here just a little bit ago. And I am just, because I'm that kind of person, I want to look to see, who is it now that has weekend plans?
Dennis from Kalamazoo.
All right. If you know Dennis from Kalamazoo, beg him for the other ticket if you want to go see this. That's what I'm saying. Sorry, Dennis. I don't want to make your friends get all over you there. But Dennis is going to go see Sex Tape, the movie. I don't want to get Dennis in trouble with his significant other there. I really don't. This is a movie with Cameron Diaz at Celebration Cinema in Portage. And Dennis knew a little something to be able to win these.
Yes, he did. The question was, what TV show did Jason Segel play in with Neil Patrick Harris from 2005 to 2014? And that answer is How I Met Your Mother.
There you go. All right. So, Dennis, you've won those tickets. Congratulations. And for everybody else that called in, because I saw the phone lines were jammed. They absolutely, I mean, there were people calling in left and right for this thing. If you missed out on the opportunity to get tickets for this thing, well, guess what? No, not now. Not now. Tomorrow. I got another pair of tickets we're going to be giving away for this movie, so you'll be able to quite possibly check it out this weekend if you're on the ball in tomorrow's program. We're going to go ahead and give those away tomorrow. All right. Wanted to talk a little bit about, I found this interesting. You remember everything we've heard from Hillary Clinton. She came out talking about how, well, you know what? Bill and I were flat broke when we left the White House. I mean, we couldn't afford our mortgages. We couldn't afford, yeah, mortgages. Uh-huh. We couldn't afford to send Chelsea to college. We somehow did it anyway. I don't know how we did this. I mean, gosh, we were poor. It topped that off with, well, we're not like the truly well off because we got our money through the dint of hard work. As if other rich people didn't work hard. Ask Bill Gates if he worked hard.
He certainly did.
He absolutely did. And you could go look this up online. I've seen this picture. There's like the very first picture taken of the staff at Microsoft. Oh, man. If you would have taken this picture and handed it to me and said, here, we want you to invest in our new company. It's called Microsoft. Here are the guys that are in charge of this thing. I would have handed you the picture back and gone, go home. Yeah. Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, people like that. Hard work. Yeah, you're seeing the picture
I'm
now.
Seeing
Michael
the picture.
Just looked it up. It's worth it. Trust me. So, you know, yeah, rich people tend to, by and large, unless your name is Paris Hilton, go out and work hard. And if your name is Paris Hilton, apparently you're just handed it, and you get to create perfume lines and whatever else. So,
ooh,
whatever.
Boy.
Yeah. So, Hillary Clinton, this is the kind of, I mean, you know, hard work on the part of Hillary Clinton. Okay, I will admit, she was Secretary of State for 4 years. That's not an easy job. I'm not going to comment whether or not she did the job well. I personally am not real fond of what she did while she was there, but that's not what we're discussing right now. And now, after her service in the Senate, after her service as First Lady of the United States, after her service as Secretary of State, you know what she does now?
What?
Travels the country and speaks for money.
Well, that's hard work.
It's a great gig if you can get it, really. I wouldn't mind doing this either. But, now, in previous jobs, I have had to deal with, I used to have to book concerts and that kind of thing. And I was used to contracts for an event. The event writer. And if you don't know what an event writer is, this is basically if you want thus and such to come perform or come speak or whatever, here's the things we want. And you've heard things like, I think it was years ago when Van Halen was doing a lot of touring, they wanted M&Ms, but with all the green ones sorted out.
Hmm.
And the whole point was they did that just to see if when they came in, if the M&Ms were there with no green ones there, because that shows that this particular group took the whole thing seriously and everything's going to be in line. I get that. I understand that. It was a little weird, but and I'd heard of and I'd actually seen riders that included, all right, if we come to town and it's a Tuesday, we want fish. If it's Wednesday, we want chicken. If it's Thursday, we want steak, so on and so forth. Riders are just pretty nutty. There could be all sorts of things in there. So what do you imagine is in the rider if you want Hillary Clinton to come and speak to your group? Well, that kind of information has now come out. And this was for, I believe it was for an appearance in Buffalo. This particular appearance, and I've got the contract here in front of me. This comes from her agency, the Harry Walker Agency. And it goes through getting her to speak at the University of Buffalo Alumni Arena in Buffalo, New York. Here's what you need to get Hillary Clinton to speak at your next event. First of all, you need $275,000. I'm not joking.
That's quick, easy cash there.
$275,000. The payment terms, you've got to have $137,500 due early and the remaining $137,500 due later. Now, this is before the event even happens. They have to be paid in full. She hasn't even come and said boo yet.
What if she canceled the event? Would she still get paid that money?
Well, I'm sure she gets, you know, the money gets returned at that
okay.
point. Now, some of this goes to the Bill Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation, which is the organization that they want to be able to subsist just in case Hillary decides to run. Now, here's the other thing. And this should clue you in on what Hillary thinks about herself. She wants a presidential glass panel teleprompter and a qualified operator. Now we're starting to understand, you know, a few years back when the president's teleprompter was stolen, somebody must have wanted Hillary to speak. That's all I'm figuring.
We figured it out.
You know, so, yeah, you needed to find whoever it was that had Hillary come in. There you go. There's your teleprompter right there. Now, they also want an attractive venue. We don't want her speaking in a flea bag hotel now, do we? No, we want an attractive venue. We want something where it's going to be well lighted. And we're going to have warmth, and we're going to have heating and cooling, and everything is going to be just perfect.
Nothing's going to malfunction on us.
She also wants this. $1,000 for a stenographer. Now, mind you, the event that she's coming to speak at, you are not allowed to have the media come in. You are not allowed to videotape it. You are not allowed to record it. You can't broadcast it in any way. But she wants a stenographer. Why? So the stenographer can record her comments for posterity. Now, mind you, this is not so that her comments can be shared with anybody but Hillary Rodham Clinton. But she still wants them, just in case. Ooh, I had a good line in that one in Buffalo. Let's go get that one, yeah. $1,000 just for a stenographer. You know, back when I was booking concerts for a while. You know, I think probably the most expensive one that I ever booked was $6,000. So $1,000 for a stenographer? That's a line I would have laughed at. Yeah, no, that's not happening.
I don't think so.
All right. Now, because it's Hillary Clinton, because she is so well known, you can imagine there will be people that want to get their picture taken with Hillary. I don't fault you if you want to do it. That's fine. She's a part of the history of the United States. That's cool. She's a former senator, former secretary of state. Yada, yada, yada. You know, as they say on Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada. You can imagine that people would be wanting to have their picture taken. Now, the particular place in Buffalo where she spoke had a capacity of 6,100 people. In her contract, a half an hour photo line right before her address would not exceed, quote, 50 photos with up to 100 people. 50 photos.
That's not a lot at all for that size of a crowd.
Yeah, you got 6,000 people that are coming out to see the former First Lady, the former Secretary of State. And you know what? I'll take 50 pictures. And now those pictures, they can't be used in any advertising. They can't be used for anything except personal use. Basically, hang it on a wall, put it in a frame, and put it in your office so you can prove to your friends that you took a picture with Hillary Clinton.
And you better get there early if you want your picture taken.
Pretty much. You know, and this is probably one of these deals where, particularly for the university, it was probably, all right, well, we'll get some alums in here that are willing to fork over a little cash. And, you know, you understand that. That's fine. It's a great way to raise money. Now, here's the other thing. If you want Hillary to speak, she has full rights over what she says. You'd expect that. I get that. She has full rights over the set, the backdrop, banners, scenery, logos. By the way, she's the only one on stage when she speaks. She has full control over who's going to moderate the post-question and answer session and has total control over the entire event beginning to end. And for that, you have the privilege of paying her $275,000. This is Hillary Clinton, a woman of the people. A woman who understands the struggle of the poor because, well, Bill Clinton and her were dirt poor when they got out of the White House. Why? They could barely afford the mortgage on both of their houses. Now you're starting to understand why. Why they're able to afford some of the things that they are. Now, going with this, though, I find it interesting that as Gallup comes into right now for 2016, 55% of Americans have a favorable opinion of Hillary Clinton. 36% have an unfavorable opinion. She's probably the one with the highest potential ratings of anybody that is running for president potentially in 2016. On the Republican side, Mike Huckabee's the guy that people like. Oh, shucks, I like him. So, now, you know, throw up some other names. Joe Biden. Yeah, next. Elizabeth Warren has been thrown around on the Democratic side. Nope. Chris Christie, Rick Perry, Paul Ryan, Bobby Jindal. Yeah, not much favorability there, but Mike Huckabee does pretty well. 12 percentage points between his favorable and unfavorable. And Hillary, well, she ended up with 19 percentage point difference there. I wonder, as you think about this now, would people have that same opinion if they saw this list of the things you have to have for Hillary Clinton to come grace you with her presence and speak in front of your group? I wonder if people would understand what that was all about. Oh, she understands us. She knows what it's like to be in our shoes. When's the last time you got $275,000 to hear someone say whatever it is that you got to say?
Never.
Uh-huh. I haven't either. This is the kind of thing we're dealing with politics in this day and age. It's amazing. Jeremy Lawrence Show continues on 590 WKZO. Continuing on here, the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO, enjoying some texts that are coming in. One of them is inappropriate, so we're just chuckling at it at this particular point in time. But someone in response to the Hillary Clinton topic that we were just talking about, they said this in a text, and you can be a part of the show too at 80373. They said, sounds like she's trying to pull a hustle to me. You think? Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
How much does she... Or how does she determine how much, you know, she's going to get paid for one of these events? I wonder.
Well, I have a feeling it has something to do with what they feel is the pent-up demand to hear from Hillary Clinton. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of my thinking on it. They feel like, all right, we can get $275,000. I don't know. Maybe they tried $300,000 and there were no takers. I don't have any idea. Now, that's not to say that there aren't, you know, because former presidents, they'll get paid tons of money, mm-hmm. $500,000 to go talk to somebody if you just happen to have former president attached to your name. It's one of those things why you don't worry about what's happening with Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, or Barack Obama when he leaves office here in a couple of years. These guys are set. Basically, all they have to do is go talk every now and again, if they feel like it.
Go on a book tour, you know, if they write a book.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You can picture Barack Obama doing that. Oh, write a book. I've already written a couple of them. Well, look, I want to talk about my years in the White House. It's very important that people know. I'm thinking about how much I'm not going to spend on that book. Anyway, so these guys are set. You know that. For a Secretary of State, yeah, it might be a little more difficult. I mean, you tell me if a Secretary of State under, say, Bush or Clinton would have gotten that much money. They wouldn't have.
No, not at all.
And part of the reasoning is this, maybe with the exception of Colin Powell at one point in his life, but the exception is this. I mean, she's running for office, supposedly. I still wonder if she won't, at the last minute, go, you know what? No. My gut still says that she's thinking, maybe not. I don't know. Sounds tiring. You know, and she's not a young woman. And, you know, grandkid on the way and that kind of thing. It might be time to just kind of retire to that tropical beach.
Spend some time with the family.
There you go. And if you run out of money, go speak somewhere. Have, you know.
You'll be able to make it right back up.
$275,000 right there. I mean, that's bigger than the annual salary of the vast majority of people listening to this program right now. So, yeah. That's a pretty good evening's work, if you ask me. But, you know, it's crazy that that kind of money is out there, but people are willing to pay it, and, you know, they make money off of that sort of thing. Now, as you look towards 2016, you know, all the candidates, we talked a little bit about Hillary's pretty favorable in the eyes of some people, the 19 percentage point differential between like and dislike. No, that's not that they dislike her more. There's apparently people that like her still. But then you've got what's going on with you know, other candidates. Chris Christie, for instance. One thing that's been reported by the AP is that he has been relatively quiet about divisive national issues. He's declined to weigh in on the Hobby Lobby decision by the Supreme Court. Won't offer specifics about his stances on immigration, foreign policy, that kind of thing. It's interesting to see Chris Christie starting to go that way. I'm surprised by it. Because I think he's one of those guys people appreciate for basically telling it like it is. Saying, look, this is what I believe. This is where I stand on this. I understand that you want to look good and all that stuff. But I think the one thing that we have learned from anybody that has run for the office and lost, if you let the handlers get a hold of you, it's over. Think about Mitt Romney. Handlers got a hold of him, and we had no clue who this guy was. And you still don't unless you've seen the documentary on Netflix. And if you watch that, you go, who was this guy? I don't remember this guy in the campaign. Man, if I'd have known he was like that, I'd have voted for him. I've heard people say that. And I've looked at it and gone, why in the world did they not get word out that this is who this is? That, you know, why did they not say, Mitt Romney, good family guy, conscientious, cares about people, cares about things? You know, take the video that was taken in the hotel room, running around, picking up trash and throwing it away and the whole bit. Man of the people right there. And have him be willing to say, all right, you know what? Here's where I stand on this. Here's where I stand on that. It's the one thing that Chris Christie does that at least you know where he stands on things. And you go, you know what? That's refreshing because not too many people do it. Heck, on some issues, I still don't know where Barack Obama stands. And he's run for president twice. So, yeah, it's sad to see coming into 2016, you know, you see Hillary saying certain things and she's gotten in trouble for saying a few things like, yes, we were dirt poor. We were just flat broke. No, you weren't. Just stop. We know better. If you got money, that's fine. There's no problem with having money. That's fine. If you worked hard to get it, that's fine. If you speak for nearly $300,000, that's fine. I'll at least understand it. But when it comes to the issues, come out and talk about things. And I think particularly the Hobby Lobby decision, that's one where you get the opportunity not only to come out and talk about your viewpoint on it, come out and define the issue, because it continues to get twisted around in the media. Why not define it and say, you know what, I understand that. I understand why they believe that. I understand what went into that decision. It's a tough decision. And then go on and share your viewpoint on it. We, the voters, would appreciate that. I'd appreciate that from anybody that's considering running. In fact, it might be one of those things that I'd say, you know what? If you're going to run for something, you got to fill out a 14-page essay on why you want to run for this position and what your position is on these issues.
And if you can't come up with that, you're not going to run.
There
Simple
you go.
As that.
Then we can go and read something and know what you think about things instead of, well, you know, a friend of mine thought that he said this one time. What that really means is that.
Just what we need is that.
Hey, you know what? Tomorrow is Friday. We're going to get together and talk about stuff all over again. 3 o'clock tomorrow. Make a point of joining us. Until then, have yourself a good evening.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.